Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So it is time to study God's Word together, and we are here exploring our final installment, our final episode in our series on making it practical, taking accountability as Christians. And also, we want to wrap up saying we need to build a culture of accountability. It needs to be our lives. It needs to be who we are, right? Accountability thrives in environments that are filled with trust, that are filled with humility, with shared purpose, and it can't be forced. You gotta allow it to be what it is. It must be chosen. And in Christian communities, accountability should be normal, not rare. That should be actually what the norm is. And when believers commit to walking honestly with one another, the church then becomes a place of healing. It becomes a place where accountability can be done, where people can be vulnerable and know that they'll be treated fairly. And it's not a place for hiding. Now, it looks like we're struggling to get our host, Fundisi U, our guest, Pastor Motsi, who is supposed to be taking us through this conversation. But she has some thoughts, perhaps, as we wrap to the close in this discussion area. What kind of culture exists in your faith community, right? When you talk about issues of accountability, what is the culture? Do people duck and dive, or are they learning to grow in this area? Are they learning to stick up their hand even if it's uncomfortable? What kind of culture do you encourage? What kind of culture do you possess as an individual? And after the lessons we've been having this week, are you drawn to perhaps try address that, right? Because I believe that with Christ on our side, we can make a difference, right? We can change who we are. In fact, He can institute change and help us. In fact, I was reading the Bible version, New Version's verse for the day, coming out of John 8 and 32. And it's a popular passage speaking to this idea of change. And it says what? When you know the truth shall set you free. So the truth has got that power to liberate us from the chains of yesterday, of bondage, of inability to accept when we are wrong. That's a trait that is defining that you're in slavery. You are in a jail of some sort. And so we want to encourage you to pursue then this new form of faith Christ brought, this idea of accountability. Another kind of thing that comes out as well from our lesson as we draw to the close today is how it's a challenge, right? How can you help create spaces where truth is spoken with love and safety? Yes, we understand what others are doing, or perhaps even what others are not doing. But the question we are having today is, what are you doing, right? And that becomes the key to say, what's your role in creating a difference, in making a difference in our spaces? Are you creating a space where people can speak the truth with love and know that they are safe? Or are they afraid when you come, hey, this one now is going to be able to do this or that? Are we going to be having a tongue lashing? You know, we're going to be asked questions of why are we so dumb? Why can't we just? And those are areas and conversation spaces, environments where people will just want to then shrug off and sink back and say, you know what, it's okay. I don't need to come and own up. I will own up perhaps between myself and God and we'll deal with it. But to come and share with you, yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same at all. And also, it's important that as you go on this journey of cultivating this idea, this culture, this space of accountability, that you identify barriers that prevent people from being honest about their struggles or their failures, or about owning up to say who messed up or who needs to take accountability. Why? Because without the environment, if there are barriers still continuing, then people will never own up, will never come to the front. So it's then very important that if you're going to be talking about creating a space, one of the things that you need to do is then remove the barriers, right? And also an idea of modeling. It's one thing to ask and to promote and to raise awareness regarding accountability. But if you don't model it, if you don't come through and show what accountability looks like, and this idea of openness then and vulnerability, then it might not ever happen. People will always think it's something abstract and that's unattainable. Whereas perhaps if you say, no, actually it's not as big as people think, and you claim that, then show that, model that, and perhaps you'll see the change that you want to see, right? Starting in your life. And what do they say in English, right? Be the change you want to see. So that's the encouragement we're also giving today, that if you're going to build this culture, let it start with you. Let it start with you. Another thing that comes through is what steps can be taken to build a rhythm of mutual accountability, right? So that it's not just you. That's important to have you be the one that starts. But unfortunately, it's not always, how could I put it? That should not always be the case. If you're being accountable does not spill over to others being accountable, then clearly there's a disconnect somewhere which you might need to rectify. And that's the call that we are also encouraging you this morning to say, try and avoid that situation where what your story is ends with you. And I don't know, maybe I might be pricking into someone's territory and touching someone in their studio this morning, but I always note a difference between Joshua's leadership and Moses's leadership. When you look at Joshua, or rather Moses, he was able to provide what they call change management, right? And they were able to provide continuity. So when he was done, maybe you can argue it was actually God through Moses. It wasn't like Moses was the one who went and looked for a successor. But nonetheless, there was that idea of when Moses was done, someone else took over. One can argue, yeah, true. But there was also the idea that they were still in a journey. There was a mission to complete. Whereas here, perhaps in Joshua's case, when he was done, the story is then say from Joshua, we moved over to the judges. And with the judges, Israel was known to do whatever they wanted. Each man did whatever they thought was right in their own sizes, as the testimony of the scriptures. And there was always this back and forth. The 40 years they were in bondage by a captivity by a certain nation, or under the rulership of a certain nation, slavery and so forth. And then they got some freedom. And then 20 years they were back. You know, this back and forth oscillation. And so perhaps that's the thing that you need, right? Build this rhythm of mutual accountability where it continues then in that regard. And it's not just, you know what, it's one-sided and one comes through with that. And so that's the thinking that we're having this morning as you go with the thought of accountability and how you can cultivate it and take it as you go through life. But we also have Dr. Moss. I think he's managed to join us in the line. Moruti, good morning to you. Thank you for joining. Welcome.
Good morning. We can pray and continue.
Okay.
Our Father in heaven, we want to be thankful that you have taken us through the night and you are here again with us. We want to ask you to lead us through as we make a conclusion to this issue we have started. We know it's a deep story, but please continue to guide us even thereafter from today. We are willing to be accountable to you because you are our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for this. Sadly, our time is almost out, so I'm going to just want ask you to just summarize the lesson for today, right? Speaking to us on understanding the culture, because we were just talking with the listener that you need to identify where you are before you start trying to remedy it. Identify the culture that exists. If you're going to need to change it, you need to know what you're possessing. And also speak to us regarding the need for a safe space, a space where truth can be spoken with love and safety. But also, if you're going to have a safe space, you need to identify the barriers that are blocking people from being vulnerable, from being honest, from being accountable, right? And then also speak to the importance of the leader, perhaps, or even the individual. It might not even be the leader, but to just claim and say, if I want to see change around me, it must start with me. And this must then spill over into the rest of the community. So speak to us about this lesson, which I think is quite a profound one, on just how we need to cultivate then this growth and this idea of accountability in our communities.
Thank you. Thank you. We want to be thankful to God for his love. Mm-hmm. He continues to pursue us and he desires that we accept his invitation.
Yeah.
Let me begin by showing each one of us the fact that even when we look at the Bible, it's a whole story of accountability, as we started with Adam and Eve, as God presented them to preside over his creation. After the fall, we continue with the story from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole issue of God trying to persuade us to accept our responsibility and accountability and be humble enough. You will notice, as I have said, Genesis 1 and 2, Revelation 21 and 22, those are only four chapters of the Bible and only two sheets of the Bible. The whole Bible is a story where God is trying to follow us up after we have fallen and remind us to come back. He's appealing for our humility. Our major challenge in terms of what we are talking about, accountability, be it as a leader or as an individual, our major barrier, my friends, is what we can call worldview. And this worldview is how we interpret reality in our every situation. And how is this one built? It is built as a person is born, what environment is around them, as they go through for informal education with their parents and their relatives, that environment where we grow, especially from ages 0 to 12, it builds our adult character foundation. And this is what makes it very difficult for us to accept the invitation of God. Our worldview is very difficult. It can only be transformed. But how is it transformed? By the information that the Bible is teaching us and showing us that our God is a God of love who is inviting us. You notice people like Moses, like Joshua, as you were mentioning, these people were humble. And we are told that on earth, the best example of humility, we can go and study the life of Moses. Yeah. We realize Moses has made an influence more than anybody else on earth, and he continues to influence us into salvation. So the whole key issue about the story we are talking about, maturity, mutuality, spiritual growth, all these depend on our humility. But our major challenge is worldview. And this worldview is me. Every person is so dependent on their worldview, and nobody doesn't have a worldview. So to try and change that is to try and say someone must change from who they are to become something else. Somebody who doesn't accept and allow accountability, to call them back to say, be humble enough, be accountable, and then you can be saved. Without it, neither church, nor family, nor whatever relationship, nor salvation is possible unless our worldview is transformed and we are living a different life.
Yo, profound, profound. If we don't move there, we will never move from where we are. I'm reminded of, I think it is the series on biblical interpretation, hermeneutics, which was done a couple of years back, which spoke to the idea of presuppositions. To say if we are steeped in presuppositions that are whatever we then interpret, we are not interpreting the thing itself in its own context. We're using this worldview, like you're saying, to do that, and we need to then be liberated from that. Mfundisi Swami, thank you so much for this information. Thank you for the education you've shared with us this week. I'm going to allow you then to give us your final thoughts to say, when all is said and done, when we talk accountability, this is what it's all about.
Thank you very much. As I've already said, our worldview is the foundation of our presuppositions.
Yeah.
And this Bible, God uses one thing. There is one thing that God uses. Both God and the devil use that.
Okay.
And that is education. God gives us the straight, correct education. The devil gives us the distorted education to move us from God. And so God is giving us redemptive education, which we get through the Bible. And the spirit of prophecy, as Sister White has explained, we have to go through those and they help us, but submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that we can accept and be acceptable with God. May God help us.
Amen.
Let us pray. Yeah. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for your love. You are a God of love. You are our Father. You are our Creator, our Redeemer. And so we want to submit ourselves and accept your redemption. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi Swami. May God bless you. Until we chat again next time, keep well and stay blessed.
Thank you.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.